Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
It's time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Dave Tree.
That's not true. That's impossible.
You're listening to Making Tracks. I'm your host, Mark Newbold, and we return once again to Comic-Con at Film New Forest, and a conversation I had with a couple of stunt people who work on a variety of films, the Marvel movies, Bond films. This is Haywood and Janet Ho. A very interesting chat, again, as I say, about the world of a stunt performer, of a stand-in, of an extra. Just gives you a different feel about what goes on a film set, so I think it's certainly of relevance to the regular Making Tracks crowd. So this is myself, Haywood and Janet at Comic-Con at Film New Forest. So, loads to talk about. I'm going to start off with you, Haywood.
Yep.
How did you get into this industry? Where was your first step?
So, my first step was when I was younger, doing a lot of SA stuff, so sporting artist roles, and that, you know, got me a bit of a taste of what the film industry was like. The initial kickstart, I would say, was when I was about 18. I used to be around 19 stone. I was quite a big guy. I've always been fighting since I was like 4, so I'd been doing karate for as far as I remember. Then what happened is I got an audition to go, I heard an audition. I went down to in London and Shepperton Studios, yeah. And I greatly got the part to play quite a big role in, well, I say big role, medium sized role, yeah. To fight one of the actors when they were a child. So one of the actors who was, one of the Keanu Reeves. Arch enemies in the film. It shows how he became bad when he was younger. So it was a 47 Ronin. When I did that, got the part, beat a few hundred people, and got flown out to Budapest and stuff like that. Yeah, it was interesting. It's good.
And very for fun. Somebody coming into it brand new, what was that experience like?
Overwhelming, because you're there and you see all these other people there who are really hungry, yeah. Really hungry for it. I think one thing the martial arts taught me when I was younger was that if you, you know, there's no like yes and maybe, there's always a yes or a no, and you either go for it full on or you don't bother. Yeah. And I think with that mentality I had when I was doing the fighting side of stuff and also pushing for the audition, I saw the guys there who had done loads of films before, you know, tons of films, and the guys I've seen on TV who have been stunt performers and or you know training for the register and stuff, and these guys are really talented people, yeah. I think I look maybe the part is a bit bigger, and also I tried really hard, and with the martial arts experience I didn't realise that, you know, the acting together, which I've done in my life as well, and the fighting together makes you, you know, trained you for the role of someone who does, you know, special action or worked away into stunts, so yeah. Yeah, acting and fighting together was my thing.
Good marriage.
Yeah, good marriage together, so yeah, it's good.
Brilliant. Janet, same question.
Well, what it was about 18 years old. I think 18.
No, this is for you.
That's me.
For you. How did you get into it?
Oh, no, I just took to finish the score with him. He took him to the audition, dragged him out of bed, goes to an audition, Haywood. Yeah. He goes there, there's all this room of top fighters from the world and the top fighting team from the world.
There's some Japanese stunt guys who honoured as probably the best Japanese stunt team. They did all the Last Samurai stuff and I think 17 Deadly Assassins, I think there was something similar title to that. They did all that sort of stuff.
So he's there and I'm there watching him and they kept taking him away to the side doing some work. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with my son? Why isn't he doing it with the rest? I kept thinking, what's he doing wrong? Is he not doing it right? They kept taking him away. And then at the end someone said to me, he's got a main part. I went, what? He's got a main part. He's fighting Lord Kira, the main actor, when he's a teenager. I went, oh. But he doesn't actually register. Because when you do things like this, all you are worried about is getting there on time, doing the job.
Yeah.
When he did the Avengers, Age of Ultron, it was getting there on time, doing the job, exhausted.
Yeah.
Then when you, like, a few years later, like now, you start to enjoy it. Because you realise it's actually good.
Sure.
But at the time, you don't think, oh, I'm on the Avengers.
Stressing out a lot.
You know,
On Ultron, for example, I was with... I was fighting Scarlett Johansson's double, who's called Honey Moneymaker. She follows her in all the films. Yeah. She looks just like her, does all the movement for her. She's amazing, and she's such a good person to work with. And actually, a lot of people don't know this, but Scarlett Johansson was pregnant during Ultron, so they CG'd her face onto this girl. the whole way through. So towards the end, sorry, I think it's towards the end.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. Towards the end, I think. And they actually had two dot here, for motion capture reference. And they literally, you look at it now, you would never tell the difference. No. If you look at the film, you wouldn't say, that's not Scarlett Johansson. That's, no, that's right, that, yeah, it isn't her. But it isn't her doing it. And so fighting this character, and you know, it's terrifying, with practicing all these moves, we're fighting all the Marvel characters over and over again, being killed, reused, hit by a car, reused. Have you all seen Ultron? Is that Age of Ultron? Have you all seen? Yeah. So we played the role, 20 of us did the roles of the sub-Ultron robots, which are the blue robots. There's thousands of them in the film getting killed over and over and over again. I got killed over and over and over again. The best parts, I got to fight Jeremy Renner, the actual actor, hand-to-hand, which is really good. Not Scarlett Johansson, but Black Widow, who played the character who everyone thinks is Black Widow, who she is, but you know, a different person. And they, you know, obviously in the film you see Thor spinning around on wires, and you know, you see the Hulk on a stick and his head is on a pole, and you're looking over there and you think, I'm sorry if this ruins anybody in here, but it is. And I looked at the person and thought, oh, you know, I love the Hulk, Iron Man, where are they? They're like, oh, they're there on your left. I was like, where? And they're in the corner, and there's these guys holding up these sticks with it. And I'll tell you wrong, the Hulk and the Iron Man look great on the top. They look great, the figures look cool. That's just a reference, so they know not to go over that way, or, you know, and there's a 3D ball comes in to make it 3D and all this sort of stuff. But they weren't there. There was a random guy in half an outfit with red trackies on, putting his lights out to show what the light would look like if he was to shoot out things, all this sort of stuff. So quite a crazy, crazy thing. And so with the Scarlett Johansson thing, they had our scene featured. They looked at our fights and they thought, you know, this would be really cool. We want to get the cameras up closer. And I'm terrified. Every time I go in, I'm always terrified. Yeah. I'm always scared. Even though I can do the stuff, I'm still scared every time. And I guys I speak to, they're all pretty similar. They all say,
because there's so many moving parts.
You're just having to, you know, not hit her. Don't, you know, make it look real. And you're taking a hook reaction and an uppercut, and you're getting electrocuted in the neck, and your knee's getting smashed in half. And, you know, you've got to do this under the pressure of, they literally said to us, you know, practice a scene. We're showing it in 10 minutes.
That's it.
And
10 minutes.
We were like, okay. So we practiced 10 minutes, did it, and they were like, okay, we actually want to feature this, so we're going to bring you over. And there's Joss Whedon, you know, the guy, if you're you there, you know, thinking all this. The directors are there, and you know, three cameras in your face, main actress there, and the full outfit, electric sticks with the tape around it, so you know, the red, the CG tape. And they're like, you know, 3, 2, 1. I'm shaking, you know, inside. I'm like. And I'm trying to calm my nerves, and before you know it, action, you run in, you give it, you know, you got to make it look real. You have to literally pretend you are a robot. So I'm coming down like really stiff, and then doing my moves. I'm getting electrocuted in the neck, and yeah, two takes, that was it. They're like, that's it, great.
I'll tell you what happened about Jeremy Renner. Like, first of all, he loves Jeremy Renner. He loves him, right?
Everyone, who doesn't love Jeremy? He's great. He's done loads of stuff. Who doesn't love Jeremy Renner?
So he's there with a stunt double, yeah?
Yeah.
So tell him what happened.
And they just said, you know, Can we bring Jeremy in? Can we get in here, you know, to do it? Is he good enough? He's good enough to do it. Some of the actors, like, as you know, might have seen Chris Evans stuff, they do a lot of their own stuff. Like, a perfect example is Tom Cruise. He does so much of his own stuff. Yeah, they like to be more part of it. So when the roles are done, they say, you know, I did that. Yeah. Which I completely get.
Yeah.
But obviously you hear stories like, you know, Harrison Ford breaking his ankle on the blast, or accidents do happen, especially when it comes to fighting. These accidents do happen.
Yeah.
So, but you know, some people are up to doing their own stuff. So they said, can he do this? Yes, he can do it. So it's actually in the hero shot where everything goes really slow, and you know, I get my neck stabbed in and gets ripped out, I get my head shot and front kicked off the stage, and you know, doing it, and it feels so personal when you're there. And then when you see it in edit, it's like 3 seconds. You know, you're like, great, and you tell your friends, and I've learned one thing.
I don't tell
anyone anymore. I don't go, yeah, I did a, I've been doing this 4 or 5 months, and Avengers, I've been in the 40th room for 3 months, Doctor Strange 2.5 months, yeah, it was really good. And they're like, where were you? I was like, well, yeah, that's me over there. Like, and you Doctor Strange, I'm running through the street being blown up by explosives, and
right next to Ben Cumberbatch
and Mads Mikkelsen, blown up, and I'm going into car doors, and then, you know, that's really cool, and you feel like you're there because you're doing it. And then you see the cake and you see bodies just being flown, and you're like, Mum, look, there I am. It's sad, but it's also good, because if you want to be not in the front line, and a lot of stunt guys now, there, some of them do want to be in front, but a lot of stunt guys, they don't want to be up front. They don't want that fame, and I understand, you know, and they're now applying for, they want stunt guys to get awards instead of like just actors. Because I know the guy who for me stood out the most was Andy Lister, another guy called Li Yang, a Chinese stunt guy. He did like doubled analyst of Keanu Reeves, the Captain America, the stuff was like all these different roles, and he is literally that hero, but he is shadowed obviously by the actor, because he's playing all these parts, wigs on and stuff, he's doing all the movement for it, but no one knows who he is. But you know, it's crazy, because I understand why they want to have awards for it, because they work so hard and everyone works hard together, and it's just, you know,
Well, this Hawkeye guy, this is my son, my son, by the way, Jeremy Renner. So he fights a stunt double, and then he goes, "Oh, Jeremy, come." So this screen here, Thor's behind there. They're all behind the screen. You're here like this, and he goes, "Jeremy." He walks out and
full outfit, looking badass. You know, looking really good.
And he hasn't rehearsed.
And practiced
with this guy.
No.
Just looks at him and he goes, "Do I speak to him?"
I think don't hurt him, as I'm thinking. you hurt him, that's it. And everyone is hungry for roles. They will. He messed up once, they get rid of you, or twice. If three or four takes, you get it wrong, you're gone. So imagine full speed, you go and, you know, doing these moves, somersaults, you know, being chucked in the air. You didn't do it well, you can't hit the rewind button, that's it, you're replaced.
So you went to Jeremy, didn't you, and spoke to him?
Yeah, I was like, "How do you want to kill me? How do you want to stab me in the neck? What do you want to do?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I want to do, I'll do this." And he's a really American, and really small as well. He's not very tall. And, you know, same as Tom Cruise, he looks tall, he's not very tall. So, yeah, stabbed in the neck, pulled out, shot me off the thing. Yeah, it's cool working with him, but it's, again, there's only brief moments where you know, do stuff with people. So it's interesting. It's good.
Was he good? Could he go?
He was good. Yeah, he could do his stuff. And you see him doing all the thing, and then you step out, and they're like, "And action!" And then where you were, as some reference stuff, he's just like shooting his bow at nothing, and they just pacing people in of what the moves that you've done and stuff. So yeah, it's cool. He was good. He could move.
And you can, you guys are experienced, so you know the movements.
Yeah,
the flow of it. Yeah. But when you come across an actor, some you like.
Mustn't hurt them.
Exactly. But others, you must see some other actors and go, he or she, they've got it, you know? Mm. Have you ever come across somebody you go, "You'd make it as a stuntman or woman"?
Yeah, Chris Evans guy does really good. You see him do stuff and he's amazing.
Smooth.
And if you look a lot of stuff on YouTube, actually, you can look at some behind the scenes stuff when they're running around like they're Avengers, they've got the guns out and they're going pew 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 pew, 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 Loki in the scene going pew, 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 and then they should have filmed like everything's all the sounds, and it's crazy that, you know, how they can change it.
Yeah.
But someone like Chris Evans, he can really move stuff really well. Yeah. You're watching, you think, wow. Cool.
Mac Masterson and Doctor Strange was good.
Mads Mikkelsen, yeah. Have you seen Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
So yeah, Mads Mikkelsen, the character of Caselius, yeah. He is actually a gymnast, so he was doing a lot of his own stuff.
I just remember
seeing his head over that reverse time part. We were doing the explosives in Hong Kong Street, so running through it, blown up, diving over stuff, and you know, and I just remember seeing his face in a wall, like head, you know, there you get sucked into the wall at the end. He's there, she's like, his head's out. Like that. It's hilarious. And they're doing the fight scene. But the funny thing is, you hear the same lines over and over and over again. I think he goes, "Strange!" And he has his arms out like that, and then he flies past him. I heard that line probably a good, you know, good few times, and you just know what's coming. But the other really cool thing about when you're on set is they make the set so well. Like, they built a whole street in that shooting, Long Cross Film Studios. They built a whole street that looked like a Chinatown. And it's everything. It's like, you know, the shops look like you could go in them, and they do it so well. And the set directors, you know, the set director designers are amazing. And when, that's one good thing about it. When you're there, you really feel like you're in part of the film. And it's one of those really weird experiences. I'd say if anyone could ever try and do, you know, even supporting art stuff or extra work, do it. Because you apply to an agency, you can get taken on. You could just see the atmosphere and the environment. It's so different than anything I've experienced.
It's
like an aura, like wow. Yeah. Like in Ultron, they did it in Hendon Police Academy in London. And they actually use, every film they normally use, they use like code names. So Age of Ultron was
after party,
and I got a call, like, you know, and this is how, again, how film industry can work. I got a call, they asked, you know, "We've heard really good things about you, Hayward, you know, we'd really like you to come and work on this film with us." And I was like, "What's it called?" Like, "Oh, it's called After Party." I was like, "Sure, that's a big feature." I was like, "Never heard of it." A big feature, you know, I was Googling it, nothing. I was like, "Oh, God, normally you find some stuff on films." And I'm like, "Great." And I got, like, a couple of days before, I was like, "Yeah, it's Avengers." I was like, "Oh, God." because the paparazzi, they'd be over all of it, but they still were over it. Helicopter in the air, they had flight permits and stuff. There was still max range, like telescopic cameras taking pictures. You look in Google and you can see all, like, the Iron Man guy with half his armor on, Ultron, you can see it all on there, like just the hands in the air. They did still pap loads of stuff. So even with all that hiding, they still, you know, they do it, and they make you sign contracts. You can't mention anything when you're there.
Yeah.
Can't take a picture. I mean, that picture I took of myself there wouldn't really happen. I didn't take that picture.
What a level of secrecy are we talking? Is it like insane?
Yeah, like they will. Yeah. I mean, you look at the thing they told you to sign for Endgame. The guys even put a Facebook post out saying, "Please do not, please, for everyone's 10-year build-up, don't ruin it for people." Yeah. And even with Mark Ruffalo, which he just gives away and stuff. They have different alternate endings. They go serious. Like they, you'll get fired instantly.
They know the guys that are gonna.
Yeah,
like you see.
And Mark Ruffalo is like, dude. He's like, oh, was I not meant to say? Yeah. And everyone thought it was a joke. Luckily, because he did give up the plot, and they are really serious about it.
Yeah.
And more than any other production I've been on, big time. So, yeah, no, it's good.
Janet, how did you get into this whole crazy game in the start?
I started doing a bit of film work. I'm now 55. When I was about 30, and I worked on Thief Takers. That was really good fun. I started really enjoying it.
Yep.
And I did three Bond films, one after another. I did 2.5 months stunt work on Tomorrow Never Dies and 3 days in the party scene. And then I got him into it, and we started doing things together. We do EastEnders most weeks, just extra work.
Yeah.
We do other fight things. Doctor Strange did one month?
Two months, was it?
No, 1 month, I think, Doctor Strange.
No, okay.
Yeah, 1 month, Doctor Strange.
It's all blurs, like 1.5, 2 months. Yeah. You get called 1 week on, you're there for not a day.
Yeah.
It's like,
so I did the Bond films, and that's it, really. Just enjoy it. It's fun. It's really good fun. You get, like Doctor Strange, you're there, and you're Benjamin Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict
Cumberbatch. Sure, saying that.
And you're there, and he's like in his outfit, and you're going, wow. Then the others.
And the outfits look really good, by the way.
Yeah,
they look like, you see cosplay, and hats off, and they look great, but I'm talking, you know, the real deal.
It looks
full outfit. The Captain America shield was, I got to touch it. It was.
Oh, Captain America shield.
Looks like it's Adamantium. Yes. Yeah, it looks like it's.
Yeah, we went on Avengers with him. And I saw this guy lining up, and I went, he looks nice, hey, with that one. And he goes, Mum, that's Captain America. And I went, and Captain America turns around and goes, Hayward! And I went, you know him?
It's a stunt double, Andy Lister. Yeah. He's done a lot of stuff.
Oh, how cool is that?
And you see the same guys over and over again, you know, doing the stuff. And the work is confined to like handful of 50 people. I'm seeing the same guys. I see them all the time.
But it's nice that he shouts out, Hayward! Yeah. And I go, oh, that Captain America guy knows my son.
He looks hot, doesn't he? Yeah.
So when you get to work with these people regularly, naturally, like you guys work together, so you've got a shorthand, obviously.
Yeah.
But when you work with other performers and you say it's fairly tight-knit, so you get to know their style, know their...
Yes.
How it all works, that's got to make it easier, hasn't it?
It's
in a difficult industry, it's got to make it easier.
Some ways, it does. Some ways it makes it harder. Because you're spending 2 months with somebody... every day, and if anyone's ever been away of a group of people before, you always know people fall out, people make comments, people have done that and they're swinging their ego over their head, and some people, you know, it's like, oh, I did this film, I was like, yeah, I don't care, good, we're here now to do the film, and now it doesn't really bother me. And so you do gel with people, and you gel like any business you're in. And one of the things, any problem with it is that if at work, if you're, you know, you go to work and you don't have to interact with people, sometimes you're fighting with someone, you kind of have to kind of get on with them to force yourself to come with people sometimes. You know, aren't most compatible with, and that's how, you know, nowadays you're not compatible with everybody you meet, and that's the difficult part of it.
Sure.
Yeah, apart from that, it's amazing. It's
fine.
Great.
It's
great.
Just people.
Yeah, it's just people. It hasn't been,
So what's the most, well, two-part question, what's the most enjoyable part of your work and what's the most challenging part of your work?
I'll say the first bit.
Yeah.
The food.
You're not the
it's
first
incredible.
Person to say that.
The food is good.
It's incredible.
The food is good.
They spoil you. So when you're with Pierce Brosnan, he's there.
Yeah.
I'm here at my table. They're looking after him. We get the same food as him.
Mm.
You know, and you've got Doctor Strange. Yeah. Oh. There's this guy called, what's his name? Chiwetel.
It's an embarrassing story, you don't want to say it.
I'm telling you the embarrassing story. So we're here having dinner, all of us.
You don't say it wrong,
honestly. Chiwetel, Doctor Strange, other people just sitting having dinner.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm dying to say to him, was it a good day?
Have you seen Equilibrium before, the film? He was an assassin, wasn't he? And he's hit people in the nerve point, and they fall on his blade and go, this is a good death. And I thought, you know, why not say it to him?
Why not
go up to him and stab him in the back and just say it to his ear? You know, as we were in the same area, he kind of didn't really appreciate it very much. He was okay. He was like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, how was that? How's Andy? Like, off Walking Dead. You know, he'd worked with him in Love Actually, and I was like, how are you? Oh, he's cool, he's fine. And I think after that, for about a week, he didn't really want to talk to me. And then slowly, we'd like, hey, be on the same dinner table and stuff, and you'd build up, you know, because you know you're there with that person for however so long. It wasn't the best thing to say to people. So don't go up to it.
I said, don't say it. Don't say that to the actor.
And you're hyped up. You're in the mood. You're being blown up by something. You're a bit fuzzled. And then, yeah, why not go up to a guy and face
him?
He's
in the queue with him thinking, should I just stab him?
You couldn't get away either, which is the best part.
Stab him and say to him, it's a good death. No, don't.
Grab a knife.
And he did it.
My hand on his back. Yeah, it wasn't.
It's like the old Patrick Stewart thing, isn't it? When he has fans come up to him and quote Star Trek Next Generation lines. And he's like, as soon as it's come out of my mouth, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
No rewind. And the, so Janet's saying the food. It was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing, the food. Yeah. The best bit is you play game, you muck around all the time, yeah. don't you? We have fights on the floor and competitions, and then we have some dinner, then we sit down and have some more dinner, then we have some more food, then we do some more fights and more competitions, and they might call us on, oh, time to go on. You get really excited because you actually go in to do some work.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't sit there for days
and
not do anything. Yeah. But you still get paid.
This is the thing that they just, it's like if a film, someone told me once, a stunt guy told me once, he said, the film industry was like building, they would get, you know, you've got a job, you have 100 bricks, 50 for excess, and, you know, when you finish the bricks, you save them, and, you know, the money you get paid, you hire just two people extra in reserve. Film industry, get 1,000 bricks, chuck them all away, hire too many people that you don't need, and that's literally, the budget's so big, if they don't spend it, they won't get it again as well. So, you know, you're having lobster and sushi and all this most evenings.
And
I
mean,
I can actually remember, like, on Strange, we would go in for breakfast, and to answer the same question I was trying to, the food is the best part.
Yeah.
And also when you're fighting, when you're on there, I get a really good adrenaline rush, I love it. But with the food, you go in there, breakfast, you've got all the food laid out on you, you've got the guys making omelets, guys grilling chicken breasts and sausages and bratwurst, all this sort of stuff, you've got all the salad bar there, you've got all the beans, hash browns, as much as you want to have, unlimited, to you, I cannot eat anymore. So then you're thinking, should I, because I've got to go on, when am I going to get called on? I can't go on and do some move and stuff when I'm going to, you know, everywhere. So you're thinking, I'm hungry, I'm really hungry, but how much do I eat to not be sick? You know, and then lunch has got, breakfast gone, you sat down. See, I mean, called on that day. You're playing, you're talking to the guys. Lunch comes. Again, great food. As much as you want to have. Gotta make an omelette.
Too
pancakes.
Good to say no to.
Too good to say no to, right? And as well as that, you know, why not? They have a thing called Craft, which is open on most sets, which is like your own private Starbucks. And it's not just a Starbucks, because they've got everything Starbucks pretty much has, with an extension tent, which has sweet jars, like lines and lines and lines, tempura prawns, spring rolls, much, you know,
fresh
these chocolate
donuts,
bars,
waffles.
As much as you want to have. Until all day this is going on, by the way, right? So then you go back off, and your dinner's come, and you've been working for 12 hours nearly, so you're tired, so you go have dinner, slightly before, have dinner, and then they got like sashimi, lobster, you know, battered this, all these really nice food, and you can go back as much as you want. And then you're bloated by this point, and you're thinking, you know, you probably put on a lot of weight when you're there, right? And then because people finish at different times, so some of the guys just constantly on set, so the camera guys, they would then come and get like the vans would come in, like the London little like indie companies would come in, like fudge brownie companies and pile of companies, a place called the Duck Truck, which is like a tinfoil shaped rocket duck place, which gave you duck wraps, as much as you want to have. This is like 12 at night or late earlier, and you're just eating dinner, lunch, breakfast, unlimited food, and you're there like, no, I take it home, I can't, you know, you can't take it home. But you're there like, it's such a weight, and they'd put it all in the bin. I put it all in the bin.
Yeah.
100 sausages a day, 100 bacon a day, in the bin. And that was one thing that did frustrate about the industry, was that, the food waste. But then, if someone doesn't have food, it's a much bigger problem than having too much food. So, I get it, but it's a bit annoying to see all the food go in the bin every day.
So you get this this is a conversation I never thought I'd have. You have this amazing food come out.
Yep.
You partake, because it's too good to say no to. Mm-hmm. And then they call you on to set for a...
Be blown up, launch into it.
What do you do?
It's quite good. But, you know, the next best thing about the film industry is that when you get on the set, you feel like you're part of the team.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you are.
It's a team.
Actually feel like you're Doctor Strange. Yeah. We were trying to hide. The first 4 days, we tried to hide. They put Doctor Strange here, and me and him here. I was thinking, if they see us now, we're not going to work for a month.
Yeah, if you get feet, you're hiding.
So
they said,
like,
they literally said at the start,
hiding the whole time.
Your contract, we're not sure how long it's going to be. It could be like for 2 weeks, or it could be a month. I'm like, I'm not getting seen. I'm hiding. Because
so
if I get seen at the start, I'm not going to be there. And, you know, nothing about, not that it's all about money, but the money isn't bad. And you're thinking, if that's an extra month of, you know, extra, I don't want to be seen.
Yeah.
So you're hiding, and you're hiding for your life. To the point they actually said to me, I've seen you quite a lot at the moment. We're going to have to let you come back off this scene. I'm like, I don't want to go home tomorrow.
No.
So I'm like, you know, it's not very much like that as well sometimes. It is a very strange industry in that sense.
But so we're hiding all the time, dying like this. And I hit the ground to hide from the cameras. My legs are there, thought, no one can see me. Because Dr. Strange's legs are there. Yes, they can't see me. So I'm right near him, so I'm going to be seen.
Yeah.
So I looked up, there's a camera.
It's looking at you.
On the floor, looking at me dead. I'm thinking, great. And do you know what? We're hardly seen on the film.
Yeah.
Hardly seen. We're right next to Dr. Strange the whole week. First week, and we weren't even seen.
So I was saying,
you can't miss us because he's there and I'm here.
Yeah,
you can't miss me. I'm here, going. Can't miss it. Then we're not on.
But when you watch the film back, you can go. That's me.
I can, yeah.
The dot,
or the guy being blown in the air, or the guy going through a window. There I am. Oh, like I said, all your friends know. Really? You know. It was great. I was there for like so much time, and I was with the actors. I was being blown up, and it was awesome. It was such a thrill ride. Oh, yeah. Where are you? That part there.
That little bit there.
Yeah, you could be there for ages, and it's every little bit comes together and makes the film. So, you know, you can get lucky, and you could, and if you want to be seen, you can.
Yeah. Do you get a kick out of being part of the jigsaw? Because it is a monster jigsaw, isn't it? Do you enjoy being part of that?
Yeah,
being available to be part
of
it.
Do you know what someone said to me? We're making history, and that sounds really over the top, but you technically, like, film like Avengers and Marvel franchise, it's not going to happen again, you know, for that thing. So, you know, to be a part of it, you have helped in making a good, memorable stuff for people for years and years to come. Like, you know, the older Star Wars films, they've hit multiple generations, and they constantly will. So that is one really nice thing about it. And it sounds really, I like saying it, but it is that. And that's one thing I really like about it. And, you know, it's great fun. And it's, you're playing a soldier. You know, you're on there fighting, being shot, blown around. You're being a kid again, running around, and you're being a kid with a hammer. Oh, it's Thor's hammer. Let's pick that up. I'm worthy. The funny thing is, they got the show hammer, the one for all the shots. Then there's the foam hammer, which he's just flinging around, and it's like, well, there's nothing. And it doesn't look that great because it's not the close up one.
Sure.
You know, so. That's one thing that's interesting.
So the best thing is the food. We've clearly defined the best thing about the job is the food. What's the most? Okay, I won't say the worst. That's not a nice quiz. What's the most frustrating element?
Sorry. Apart from my phone, I do apologise. Turn this off.
Frustrating. For us, just getting kicked off Doctor Strange, that was scary because they ran on YouTube, but they did the whole month, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But you hear lots of rumours going on, we'll get rid of that team. We'll get rid of, try to cut the budgets down.
Sure.
We're just thinking, oh, just hide from all the things, you know?
Yeah.
But that was frustrating, yes, because everybody was scared.
Yeah.
Someone was told, you please ride the motorbike, and you went, no.
Yeah, I don't want to ride it.
He looked at our stunt man.
You should never say to someone, by the way, ever.
You should never say no. But he said no, because he wanted to be seen riding a motorbike. So he knew that would be the last day he'd be on that film set.
And then he's done.
Yeah, that's it.
So he said no, and I just said, you can't say no.
No.
And he looked at the stuntman, and the stuntman goes, get on the bike, put your head down. So you ride a bike like this.
Mm.
If they see your face, you're out.
You're out.
Mm. You've had one day's work.
Yeah.
You could have had them up. But they kept
it's just the reusability, because you're costume changing and stuff as well. So if they see you in that character, why is that... Because you get people like that.
Yeah.
You get people like, oh, no, that guy was a... 2 seconds in the background on 4-4, and it, you know, it's like, and they'll get stuff for it. So they'd be extra safe, and they don't, especially Marvel, like I said, they try and take, you know.
And are they hot on that kind of continuity? Mm. Because there's certain film, I always think of Return of the Jedi when you see at the beginning, oh, there's a guy friends. In the Imperial, okay, this is an Imperial guy in the cockpit of the shuttle. And then when they do the next scene, he's stood there in the parade as Darth Vader walks off. And then in the later scene, he's one of the rebel generals. And it's the same guy in three characters. And you go, there he is. Are they pretty hot on the Marvel stuff?
I thought they were. But, you know, like, it's not like to the point where you're in Troy and there's a heli of the plane above the in the air. Like, stuff like that. But it's they are. I think they're a lot more serious in every aspect of a film I've worked on.
Yeah.
Ooh, 100%.
Yeah.
But again, human error, isn't it? So it's if that guy's doing it, oh, he checked it. No, I checked it. But yeah, the people, they're really, you know, obsessed. They have to do it. They have to be really on
and
it.
That
everything.
Quality control goes through, clearly, even down to the food. It goes all the way through every layer of the production.
Mm. Which makes it all, you know. And the nice thing is, you know, everyone's clapping each other at the end of each day, and it's a real good feeling. Everyone's like, well done, everyone. You did really good. And, you know, people having birthday cakes, the actors come in and everyone's singing their birthday. It's things you don't see, you know. And those little things, I don't hear much about it. So it's nice to be able to talk to people about that sort of stuff. Because
Working on a Marvel film, like you say, it's a sequence up to Endgame of these films that build. And you've worked on a couple of and Strange. So is it the sense that, I know every film's its own little individual kingdom in a sense, it's its own company if you like, but do that, you know, you're on a Marvel film.
Yeah.
You've got that vibe consistent through all the way through it.
Mm.
And you say about, you know, the party atmosphere almost, it's not literally a party, but you know, you've got that good vibe going on.
Yeah,
How cool is it to be part of that when there's all the other people, the producers, directors, actors, everybody else, you're part of that team?
It's the best feeling in the world. It's like, that's one of the things that keeps me wanting to work more and work more, is that, you know, I sometimes, right now, out work actor is, you know, a guy, a waiter, you know, that if you're not working, you'll have to find other parts of work.
Yeah.
And like when you're doing, you know, other stuff, like I work at a gym, for example, and I personal train, and I'm working and underneath a boss, and you know, they're telling me what to do, and you're there just like smiling, because, you know, when you're on a film, everyone's equal, and you do have someone who's in charge of you, yes, but it's very much more slack in the sense they'll be nicer to you than other working industries I've been in. Everyone's like, everyone's so chill, but they know not to push the line.
Sure.
So the working environment's so nice, because there's no like, you must do this right now, unless you're the director, obviously, or the first AD, who is the job is to get people in order. Yeah. But everyone else, like, slightly above you, they'll be really nice to you. Like, the stunt veterans have been there for like 20 years filming, they're really cool to you as well. Like, there's no like, oh, he can't, you know. It's a good crowd.
So it's very reciprocal in the sense that, you know, if your stunt boss, if you want to call him that, wants to get the best out of you because it makes life easier for him,
mm-hmm. yes,
and reflects better on everybody, and everyone's got roles that complement. Is that
in the Marvel side of things? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, some obviously depends on the coordinator, stunt coordinator, and you know who he is and who his people work differently, of course. Yeah. And some people obviously prefer to work with other people than you hear names. I'm not going to say anything, but you hear names, you people, oh, working with him, you think that's going to be a rough ride for that few days, you know. And yeah, it depends who you're working with, but the majority of the time, everything I've done, it's always been a nice environment, and it's always been really good memories to have everybody. Yeah, it's been good.
And Janet, you mentioned working on Bond.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big deal in the film industry, working on Bond.
I love it.
So what was that experience like?
Again, great food. we just have loads, like, really pile it up.
Yeah.
And just could. It's very exciting. Bond was always really exciting. Even when you park your car in the car park, there's an atmosphere going around. Everyone's just really, really happy and bouncy.
Yeah.
Every Bond film I've done, it's been like that. It's always good to... The food is great. Then you get to go on the set.
Yeah.
And you go on this magical world of all this stuff. And you feel like you're actually... you are.
Yeah.
But you feel like you're the person in the film. And you feel like Pierce is going to save you. You actually feel... Because you have to pretend this. When you pretend it, you actually are it.
Yeah.
So you're actually living in the Bond film.
Yeah.
Or living in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like that. Mm. So it's really a fantasy. So people here who like Comic-Con, you'd love it. Because you're actually part of it. And you feel like you're whoever you are.
Yeah.
And you get to feel that. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. And when you get to action work, that's even more fun. Because you're going to do something really like, oh, that looks good.
Yeah.
He was running over all the cars on Doctor Strange. I took the easy path. I was wounded, so I limped the whole film with a guy. The floor was quite wet and dangerous. He runs across the
floor. Young was like parkouring over stuff.
He's
like
jumping
over things onto poles and dodging debris on the floor and stuff.
I think I was just looking and thinking, what's it that for? Anyway, when I fell down, I made a little kind of hole, like a nice soft bit, and I'd die right there. He's dying everything. You know, just dying, dying, thinking, hey, make a little path for yourself. So I saw that, and I'd die here, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good fun because it's exciting. Then he put me right in the middle of the film set, Doctor Strange, and they put a big box probably like that high.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I went, oh, everyone's looking at me, the camera's at me, and the stuntmen are judging me.
Mm.
They judge me.
Yeah.
So I looked at this box and I could have run round it, but I jumped. I don't know why. I just jumped. How stupid is that? The floor's wet. You know, it's slippery, there's metal, there's boxes that slip when you go around corners. I looked at the box and I thought, I jumped it and I landed and I thought, nothing's broken. I carried on running and all the women adored me. They went, oh, you stunt, Chinese women, you stunt girl, can I take a picture with you? Oh, you're amazing, you jumped so high. I think, oh, this is great. And it wasn't played on the film, so I thought, what's that for? And I did this black on the green screen, so I had this food tray of food. So I did it like that. They said, like, foldable crash mat. So I thought, if I chuck the food, I've got to chuck food like that.
Yeah.
So it goes up there.
Yeah.
I chucked it. I don't know why I did this either. My legs were up there.
Yeah.
My head was down there. I went like that. My back flip. Yeah. I do trampolining.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked, and the director went, come here, come here. I looked at it. I went, wow, that's so dangerous.
You weren't expecting that.
Oh, my God. And I didn't, I was too scared to say, can I video it? I regret that, not videoing that piece. It's so good. And I did it twice, and it's a take, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
But you do think, you don't think you can do, because you want to do it. Because it's so, you're there going, oh, great, this is, look, all the stars, all them.
Or you have to as well.
And you have to, because you're not
otherwise
good.
Otherwise they won't take you again.
Yeah, they think, oh, they're not very good.
Yeah.
So it's really, really exciting having to do that. But it's a bit dangerous sometimes.
Sure.
But you don't feel that, because you're just excited.
And the adrenaline's going.
Yeah, your adrenaline, you know,
So when you're in these situations, and presumably it's all mapped out and there's a good pathway and way of, you know, doing what you're going to do.
Sometimes.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Let's call it risk assessment. What is the level of risk assessment in terms of making sure guys don't get hurt? Because we know there's always somebody else there who can step in, but if they filmed a load of stuff for you, then it makes it awkward. You know, how does that process
work? Do you know what? Sometimes there's no... There's none. Like, you are there to be battered. you are there to be chucked around and ragdolled downstairs or through stuff.
Oh, tell about your film you did. That's really funny. That the stair fall.
So yeah,
hear this story.
I just wanted me to do a stair fall. I did a as you're doing acting or you're trying to put yourself out there. You do shorts, you do features, and one thing I did was a short called Cables of Chronicles of Hope, and which it was based on Cable of X-Men, and doing this big Icelandic guy come down who looked really good, and it was I got this job again off Doctor Strange. Yeah. Doctor Strange stunt double, I made quite good friends with, who had been on the set for like 6 months, asked me, I'm getting on really well, do you want to come and do stunts on this, this short with me? They're called K&K Productions, they're a great company. If you ever get a chance to check out, you can check this out. And they were like, okay, cool, my first step. I had a really good team in there. There's four of us. We had a really experienced fight choreographer with us as well, so we all partake. He has a final say. And the other guy with us was actually Quicksilver stunt double in Age of Ultron. So I've just done Doctor Strange. I've met this guy before, come onto this film, and I'm there with Doctor Strange stunt double, who to me is as good as that character, because if you do that work, he's good, and same as Quicksilver, they're good guys in the stunt industry, they were up there, so they were teaching him and helping me, so that was always a helpful thing.
So you had that in the back of your mind?
In the back, I was like, these guys know what they're doing. He's like, just do like a side aerial, like a side somersault, land on your feet. Like, instead of land on your feet, go on your knees and do like a half turn, and then when you go down, roll on your back, and then keep your elbow out, and then pad your, and I'm padded up as well, so it wasn't as bad, but you got to like roll with the stairs. Don't, like if you do a car knockdown, you don't just hit it, you jump and you roll over the car.
Yeah.
And you have to have the stunt driver doing the right speed, braking at the right time. If you don't jump properly, your legs are broken. So you got to do it, a bit more differently. But then they wouldn't get any random person to do a car knockdown. They would have someone who's done it before. Same as fire stunts. You've got guy in full fireproof gear. He's got the gel on. He's got two guys on the side with fire extinguishers ready to put him out. And they'll do it and they'll put him out afterwards. Yeah. So it's not actually as dangerous as you think it is, because it sounds terrifying. And there are times where they've added too much gasoline and they've blown up and got a lot more hot than they should have done. And it's happened. There's more gasoline bad than they should have. Guys changed their roles halfway and there's a different guy doing it. That's when the accidents happen.
Yeah.
The stairwell. It went really well. I didn't hurt myself at all. And I feel competent now to fall downstairs.
And did it look good?
It looked really good, yeah. And it looked so good they only did half of it. So some of the camera angle was getting me going on the stairs. And that was it. It wasn't like me tumbling down, which I did. I was like, oh, great, cool. Again, that's fun.
The dangerous
one. Yeah. And then they're like, she wants to go through this chair. Like, all these experienced stunt guys, I'm like, I'll go through the chair. You guys have a rest. Them being experienced stunt guys, they don't want to push themselves. They know they're already there. Me being young and wanted to do stuff, get myself out there, I did that. It was like, okay, I'll do it. So I went straight through a wooden chair. We pre-broke it first. We took it apart, put it back together loosely, and I went through the chair. It was great, not realising that could have gone straight through my leg because it was quite sharp.
Absolutely.
But it was really good as well. So I went through the chair, rolled into a fireplace, lay down unconscious, and so all these little things you do. This is the thing. People think it's dangerous, and it is dangerous, and it sounds dangerous, what we're saying, but it's not as dangerous as you think it is, because you're there. If anyone falls on the stairs, they fall downstairs unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're gone. They don't fall right. They might be not in physically fit.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of old people fall down the stairs. They break their hips and all this stuff. You're ready to fall down the stairs. Your angle you're going to fall at. You're ready. Your adrenaline's pumping. You're padded up. So it's not as bad as people think. Oh my God, I would hate to fall down the stairs. So it's not as bad as people think it is. That sounds quite hilarious, actually. Yeah. It's fun to fall down the stairs because it was quite fun. But yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah,
so. Brilliant. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Cool.
Has anybody got a question they'd like to ask?
Have you got any new projects coming up, or what's next for you guys? What would you like to do next?
So I really wanted to get onto the last Avengers film. They're on the shot already. But obviously, again, a lot of stuff gets shot in the States. They have to have a UK coordinator doing Marvel films over here. So they did shoot a lot of films over here. So you had to have a UK stunt team and an American stunt team all the time. So I was always part of the UK stunt team. It's one of those things where I was training to be a professional, fully qualified stunt performer for quite a while. I did it for 5 years. I had, in this country only, you have six different disciplines, six skills you choose. So gymnastics, rock climbing, horse riding, you pick your ones out of the... You've got to be near instructor level in every single one of them. To do SPA, to say I could take 10 of you up on the rock right now, put the crypts in the rock, and I could lead climb it. And that's hard, that's scary. That in six different areas is hard to do. You know, I did got quite a few. I was close and finishing quite a few as well. And I was going to break my left ankle 6 months out, but my right ankle 6 months out. This hit my shoulder in training, and I was out. So I've had to, in some senses, come away, reevaluate everything, and think, you know, I want to do this. But then if I go to America, you just join the SAG, you join the stunt guild, you're in, sort of thing. And any other country, there's no register like the UK. Which UK is great, because it prides itself on safety, right? So we're very safe, which it should be. But you know, you're not doing any of the skills in the tests that are fire, stairfall, you know, this, fighting, really. It's just like gymnastics. But it's not really relevant to when you're working, if that makes sense. 80% of the time you're fighting. So being in the martial arts class 4, I now want to go on films as an action actor and do the fight specifics, you know. So I want to go and do the fighting as a specialist, because realistically now I want to get a mortgage next year. I want to do all this, and you know, they would never give a mortgage to a stunt guy. They'd be like, oh, how much are you working? I'll do 3 months here and nothing for 2 months. So that's why the gym stuff. So if stuff comes up, I'll be pushing myself out there more next year for auditions and going more for it. But until this year comes, I'll do what gives offered to me. So I'm not, again, you never know in your next production. You never know when you actually got the job. For example, I had 6 months on Tomb Raider. I got told, you're going to South Africa. We want you there. You're going to go. Great. I got hard penciled in. Look forward to going. I'm going to South Africa, everybody. I'm going to Cape Town. I'm going to be a Tomb Raider. I love those video games. I grew up playing them. Then they're just four. They did it. Sorry, we're sourcing everyone from South Africa now. So you're hyped up, and it happens all the time. I've lost so many things where I've been nearly, you know, and I'm one of those, I look, huh, I'm quarter Chinese. I don't get the roles for King Arthur, so I'm too Chinese. I don't get the roles in 47 Ronin, and after I'm being, because can you go to the back, can you move slightly that way, because you don't look Japanese enough. You know, it's just, so wherever parts come, I did play a schwa warrior in a loincloth. That was interesting, because they were kind of mixed, so. That was one thing, but I don't know, and I think anyone really knows. If you have good agents, and you have good contacts, and you know the right people, and it is knowing the right people. You could be the best in the world, to some degree, and you will not get work, and it's sad like that. But again, you give your work to Johnny, who's your friend, not, you know, Leonardo, who's training up, and you know he might be better, but you're not gonna do that. So it's a lot of it, so you know, unfortunately. But think about it, there are a lot of talented guys doing it. And to answer your questions, I'm not sure when the next one will be.
Any final question, Joe?
I trained to be beauty queen when I was younger. I've learned you get to meet the right people. That's why I'm going for the beauty queen thing.
Yep.
And if you would get somewhere, you get put in public eye. Then they say, oh, hi, how are you? I do martial arts training. And, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how I've learned from doing Doctor Strange to get to the top. So I've noticed that they use a lot. Everyone's good. It's who you want to put in that position.
Mm, yeah.
And I've just recently got a job with three of my children in our class, a fighting job on a theatre with EastEnders bad boy Nick Cotton.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing that in October. So I've got them, three of them, a job. They're getting £20, well, £40 each. We're finally getting paid. We always do everything for free, for charity and all that.
Yeah.
Always helping people. I thought it'd be nice to get some money for this.
Yeah.
So I've got them that job. And it just links on. So eventually you get to know people.
Yeah.
Who will give you
the whole networking.
Yes. Mm.
Well, thank you very much, Heywood, Janet. Really cool. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all for this special episode of Making Tracks. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Android, Spotify, SoundCloud, TuneIn, iHeartRadio and Spreaker. If you want to find Fantatracks out there in the wild, you can find us on smart speakers such as Amazon, Alexa, Apple HomePod, Google Home and Sonos. We're also available in your car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, on gaming consoles and television. You can find us on Fantatracks TV, on YouTube or the Fantatracks app. And of course, you can drop onto the dedicated landing page for Fantatracks Radio on fantatracks.com. We'll be back very soon, but for now, please, guys,